Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Micah?
I'm okay.
I don't know where Bill's at.
Me either, but I
He
don't know.
posted a picture of himself in long hair and then he left. Did you see that picture?
I did see that picture. That was a while ago. It was weird.
Yeah, he looks creepy. He looks like a serial killer. Looks like he's got like his hair long on one side and not the
Yeah, that's an interesting photo.
Yeah. Well, I
Wow.
had a mullet, so what could I say?
Yeah.
I was like Joe Dirt.
Just weird. That's just weird.
I text him, but I think it'll cost him like $75 if I do
Yeah, I think on his plan, it's at least $75 per text message. That's a lot. So,
So, did you enjoy the holiday break?
it was all right. I mean, it wasn't much of a break, but.
You worked most of it.
Yep. I mean, the only days I had off, we had the weekends off, but I only had
New
the
Year's and
day, yeah,
Christmas.
New Year's and Christmas.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, it is something.
Have to go back to work. I haven't been in work in 2 weeks.
That's nice.
I think Bill was off the whole time, too.
I think so.
I wanted to talk to him because I got a piece of shit Honeywell humidifier over here that won't work. Hoping he could help me fix it. It's a magnet-based engine, which means it's supposed to pump water based on the magnet, but the little thing is not turning. It's time to get a new one. But if I don't get a humidifier, the static electricity in this house will start frying equipment. It gets so bad.
Oh no, that's not good.
Yeah. That's
I have a
how
little
dry
cheap
it is because the
humidifier.
temperatures drop.
Yeah, I have a little cheap humidifier. And it seems to do decently.
I wouldn't even think you'd need a humidifier. I think you need a dehumidifier over there.
Nope, it's weird. Well, the problem is that it's drier in the house than it is outside a lot.
Yeah, but
Just the
it's
way
still
it's
humid
constructed.
over there
Well, more than it
compared
is where
to
you
here.
are.
You don't get like static electricity bad over there, do you? Like if you
Not to the
drag your
same
feet
degree.
across a carpet.
I wouldn't know. I haven't had carpet in a while.
Oh.
Yep, hardwood floors.
Nice. So what you been reading, Micah?
Gosh, I don't.
Textbooks?
Almost. Well, I'm getting ready. I've been studying, trying to get back into school shape lately.
It starts this week.
Yep. Classes start on Wednesday. Let's see. Open up this thing and see what the
What are
last
you
thing.
taking this? Anything interesting or
Nope.
just working towards your language
Yep.
improvement? Yeah.
Come on, Nook, do the thing.
You got a Nook?
Yeah, I've had it for a while. That's what I read all my comics on. Let's see. The last thing that was open was Black Sad, which I read through, reread through the first one again.
You've already read that, though, right?
Yeah. I've already read that. Let's see.
You and Bill love that thing.
I mean, Bill loves it more than me, but I still think it's pretty good. Bill really likes it. And I see the last thing before that was The Road to Oz, which is another one of those Scotty Young Marvel
Oh, is it
books.
the sequel or is it the
It's like the
one?
sixth one they've done.
Wow.
Yeah. They're going through them in a pretty good clip. And the thing is, like, there's not much to say about those books. Like, it's a really faithful adaptation of the Wizard of Oz books.
Hmm.
Just John and Scotty Young style, so.
It looks like a good style for that type of book.
It is. It's really, it works out really well. And it's really cute, so. I'm trying to think.
I haven't read it, but I have the first hardcover.
I just picked up the most recent Darwin Cook Parker book, but I haven't even cracked it open yet, so.
Hmm. I've never read one of those.
They're really good. I think you'd like it.
I've seen them. I've seen some of the movies.
Yeah.
But that's probably not close to the books at all.
Not much.
Seen the Mel Gibson one? I think it's Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Payback.
Payback. Yeah. And I've seen the other one that nobody liked with Jason Statham.
Oh, Parker. Like, actually.
Yeah, Parker.
Yeah, that's not very good.
I liked it. I thought it was good, but I didn't. To me, it was.
Well, it's not based on
what I was. Yeah, I know. I was just watching another Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, I just think there's been better Jason Statham movies. And of course, I'm still slugging through Green Lantern, so.
Slugging like you're not liking it?
No.
You are liking it.
No, I'm not liking it at all.
Oh, you're not? You don't like Kyle?
I'm not there yet.
Oh, you're still at Hal?
Yes. But I think I'm at the end. I think he's about to turn evil and kill everybody, so.
Final night. Oh, no, final night's when he does redemption, I think.
Yeah, that might be it.
He sort of redeems himself.
Yeah.
Because the Sun Eater or something's coming. It's been a long time since I've read that.
Yeah, he's going to fight some blue guy at some point in time. It's weird. So, yeah. But,
I read a lot of old shit.
What did you read?
I read a lot of cross-gen stuff. I never finished Mystique, the one that was, she was the one with magic, you know. Yeah. She got the sigil on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister was supposed to get it, but it didn't turn out. It's like she accidentally got it and her sister was mad at her and all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't read the last 6 or 7 issues of it, and I finally got around to reading them. And it was really good. Tony Bedard and Lopresti, he did such a damn good job. Like he drew like yetis and like dragons and all kinds of shit. And
did that one make a comeback?
Did what?
Did that one have new
it
issues?
It had a 4-issue Marvel run.
Yeah, wasn't that
I haven't read
ago?
It yet. I never read them because I have them, but I never read it because so much people talk so badly about it.
Well, maybe you should read them to see if they're...
Like they I might like it. They released Roost, which was like Mark Waid again.
Mm-hmm.
So that one probably has the more likelihood to be similar.
Yeah.
And then they released Sigil, which is nothing like the sci-fi fantasy that was in CrossGen. It was about a teenage girl getting the sigil, and I read that one, and I thought it was all right, but I never liked that. That was my least favorite cross-gen anyway. The sci-fi one.
Yeah.
But this one was really good. Tony Bedard like had a lot of humor in it, and she'd lost her magic and was in prison, and there's all kinds of crazy shit that happened. And it ended fairly well. Like, it ended right into the Negation War when the company went bankrupt and they never finished the story. But it was pretty good. And what else did I read that was old? Some Green Hornet from the Now issues, the Now comics. Those ones somebody gave to me, but they were really good. I liked them. I read Pretty Deadly number 3. Bill said this was supposed to hook me, and it didn't.
Oh, no.
Well, this is what pre-ordering does when you don't like something.
Yeah.
You just kind of linger on. And then the other thing I pre-ordered 3 issues of and finally read and I didn't like it at all was Shoot First from Dark Horse, which was a weird concept starting off, but just seems all over the place. Like, it has no focus. That's why I don't like it. But it's about people that lose their faith, like in religion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose your faith, you can use these weapons. But if you gain your faith, you can't use the weapon anymore. It's weird.
Hmm.
And then it kind of loses direction in the other 2 issues, and I didn't want to read it anymore. I know you were reading X at one time.
Yeah. Is it?
And I read all that, and I liked it. I liked it a lot more than I thought it was. He's like just like a Punisher type, but
yeah.
I like the supporting cast that the girls provided. She was like the one that was investigating him and stuff. Yeah. She was like a reporter inside that would blog about it.
Mm-hmm.
In this city, Arcadia, that nobody can real. There's no justice there. There's,
yeah.
It's like crime infested. It's like Gotham, but 7,000 times worse.
Yep.
The police force is all corrupt. It reminded me of Hub City in The Question. When I read The Question with Denny O'Neill,
yeah.
All of Hub City was crime infested. The mayor was in on it. The police. That's what this is kind of like. It reminded me a lot of it. That was, I like that. I read like quite a few issues of that. And then I read The New Ghost. So I was doing the Dark Horse superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else did I read?
I didn't finish it, but I started reading a Warren Ellis book from, God, I don't know when this was made.
A book?
No, Avatar.
Was it Gravel?
No.
Strange Places?
Captain Swing and the Electrical Pirates of Cindery Island.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It's drawn by Raulo Caceres, who I've never heard of until I picked up this book.
The Captain art's not... Swing?
Yep.
Like S-W-I-N-G?
Yes. Let's see if I can...
Mike, I lost you for a second.
What, am I gone?
Now you're back.
Hmm.
But you were saying it's Captain Swing and what?
Yeah, Captain Swing and the Electrical Pirates of Cindery Island. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently this is from 2010.
What is that?
It is a... sort of, I guess, a steampunk. I guess that's what that genre is. The whole, like, Victorian era, like, dudes in stupid top hats and monocles jumping around on buildings with boats that fly kind of a deal. So far, it looks like it's 4 issues. It's all collected up. But it's 4 issues, and the first issue is kind of setting up the world. There's some dude who's out here killing people, and these couple of cops are trying to hunt him down and stop him. But, like, I guess he's supposed to be a take on... I don't know if it's supposed to be a take on Spring Hill Jack or Jack the Ripper. I don't know which one.
Spring Hill Jack's a monster, though, right?
Yeah.
With horns?
I mean, I don't know if he has horns all the time. I think he might have... I don't know a lot about Spring Hill Jack, except other than he might, like, not even, he was never real, but, like, there's a story.
Well, I thought it was one of those mythical things.
No.
Spring Hill Jack,
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a demon of some, like, a weird...
Yeah, he's like a demon.
But people claim to actually have seen him. Like, people thought he was actually real.
English folklore in the Victorian era. That's why I thought he was one of those mythical, creatures like the...
Like a centaur?
Abominable snowman or...
Oh, yeah.
Things that...
like Sasquatch.
That don't exist or might exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a name for them. I forget what they call
them.
There's
a word. And
the cryptoids? Is that the new term for them? Cryptoids?
It might be. But there's a word for all those made up, like, mythical monsters that, like, mythical stuff. Like, urban legend type stuff. But the book is weird because, so some of it has, so it opens up with, you know, gruesome dead body, like, thrown over a, like, one of those giant fences with the pointy ends all sticking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a body that's, like, just splayed out, like, back down, all crushed over it. And then it goes into, like, they have these pages that are, like, ugly yellow colors, supposed to be, like, manuscript of people writing about, like, the story of the time. Like, some of it is in, like, a newspaper style. Some of it is, like, letters from Captain Swing or some various other people. And it's... And so they have these big pages, and they'll have some really intricate drawing of some minor piece of technology that I guess is from this world. Yeah, it has to be Springkill Jack, because the dude has freaking lightning coming out of his feet. So, like, the Captain Swing character. So, but one, I guess one issue into it, I'm not sure, like, where the story's gonna go, because it's 130-something pages, I think, and I'm about 24 pages into it, and we haven't really met anyone else other than, like, one of the cops, Captain Swing, and then I think another cop, like, one of the police captain or, like, another dude, and so we've just gotten a bunch of explanations of, not explanations, but, like, pictures about how stuff works, a letter from Captain Swing telling you that everything you know is a lie, and some pretty gruesome deaths, so... But the artwork is neat, and I'm going to finish reading it because I have it. But I got it for cheap, so that's cool.
Is it a trade or what?
Yeah, there's a trade.
Huh. Does it take place in the UK?
Yeah, it's in London.
Okay. All right. That's where Springhill Jack is. It's first reported in 1837. He's last reported in 2012.
Yeah. Okay, apparently you can get the trade on Amazon for $14. So there's that.
Yeah. 1837, damn.
Because, yeah, like, apparently he just jumps on top of buildings and shoot and kills people.
Yeah, that's what he's known for, jumping. Modern sightings.
There's modern sightings of Springkill Jack, really?
Yeah. Who grabbed women and punched men.
That's probably just awesome. A weird creeper.
Yeah. That seems like an interesting Wikipedia to read.
Well, the Springkill Jack one?
Yeah.
Probably.
I bought a Springhill Jack comic a long time ago. Didn't like it. But I didn't understand it. This one was more like playing on his demon part, I guess. Yeah.
He popped up in the TV show Luther, the British cop show with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't actually him, but it was someone pretending to be like him.
I just watched the Ghost Rider, The Spirit of Vengeance again, and I hated it the first time I watched it. The second time was okay, but Idris Elba is in there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until I saw it the second time.
I gonna watch it again?
Yeah, I'll watch it again. I like it.
Maybe you'll like it this time. Like, you'll, like, really like it.
Well, I did watch it again, and I did think it was okay. Yeah. It was one of those things that I turned it on to while I was doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And just watched it. And I said, it ain't bad.
I still haven't actually seen the second movie yet.
I don't know if you'd like it. Did you like the first one?
Yeah.
Well, then you might like the second one.
Yeah.
You might like it.
I thought it was, like, I mean, I didn't expect it to be the best movie
ever. Yeah, if you go in with low expectations, you'll like it, because it's real simple, but...
Like, I don't mind. It's a Ghost Rider movie that I'm surprised even got made, so...
Mm-hmm.
Like, after the first one, like, I know the first one made some money, but I don't know if it was, like, a big success or not, and so I'm a little surprised even that they made a sequel in the first place.
Right.
It was out of theaters in, like, 12 seconds, so I missed it.
So I read, let's see, what else did I read? I read a Saviors, which is an Image title. It's a new James Robinson title.
Yeah.
With art by Bone. It's black and white. It's an interesting story. It starts off like a slice of life. Like this, I found this character really interesting just because of what he did and what he thought of life, because he was very simplistic and had no outstanding goals in life. It seems like he was satisfied with where he was, which was pretty much smoking weed, like, mm-hmm. all the time, and working at a gas station, like at a service station where he actually pumps the gas for people. I don't even think they exist anymore.
They actually do.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one in New Mexico or Colorado.
I haven't seen one in a while, but I know someone who's saying that there are full service stations that are still around.
Huh.
But they're usually in smaller places, I guess.
When I was growing up, it was a big thing. They would always have like one row of pumps for self service and then one row for full service. And I guess you'd pay more for the full service, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. But that's what this guy does. He pretty much smokes pot. He's got a lot of friends. He's content with life. He seems to be friends with everybody in the town. Like the sheriff comes by and talks to him, and they chit chat. I think the sheriff knows he smokes weed and doesn't like arrest him for it. And he's got friends like at the junkyard that put cars together, and he's just always stoned but content with his life the way it is, and living in this small town. And one day he's near this ditch. I don't know. He's just hanging out smoking, and he looks over the ditch area, and he sees the sheriff talking to a military general, and he starts to see him like, and they live like they're aliens. Like what the fuck? He's like, I can't be that stoned. It's like, they look like aliens, but they actually see him like take off. And he runs to his friend's house, and the one that owns the mechanic shop that scraps old junkers and stuff. And says, he's like, man, what? I'm seeing aliens. And that guy's like, you're so stoned, you don't know what the hell you're seeing. Like, he doesn't believe him. And then there's a knock at the door, and it's the sheriff, and he puts a bullet right in his friend's head, like shoots him right in the head, and then goes after him. And then it's like a motorcycle chase, and the alien turns into this weird looking creature and just starts running after him. And then some guy that he did self-service for, like an old car, like he pumped gas for him earlier that day, he comes by and says, you know, he actually saves him, and he says, run, or something like that, because he hits the alien with his car. But it's a pretty cool story. Like, it starts off really just introducing the character, and then it goes off the rails and gets all chaotic. But I liked it. And then I read the first Grindhouse. Well, no, it's the third issue of Grindhouse, Doors Open at Midnight. I love this series because it's cheesy Grindhouse films and comics, and I'm glad that this thing exists. But the first story was about bees in this town. The second story is about a female prison in space, which is very Grindhousey, and I liked it a lot. It's really, really good. And then the last thing that I wanted to plug is that after Bill talked about Freedom Force and that Tom Scholey, I went and got it. and I read all six of them, and I thought they were great. They were awesome. I never played the video game, but very cool characters, and the visuals were like very Kirby-esque. I liked it a lot. And the writing was done really well. Like, I liked how the writer made all the accents. Like, there was this girl called Alchemist, like M-I-S-S, like Alchemist. She talked like she was from the Carolinas, like with an accent, and he'd write it like that. And then there was El Diablo, who has like a... He spoke in Spanglish. In other words, every fifth word or something was a Spanish word. And then everything else was in English. And yeah, it was interesting. All the characters obviously have like a character that you can map to probably someone in Marvel or DC, but they're an interesting set of characters with an interesting voice. But it starts off with an alien race coming to Earth, and they release this Energy X. And they were going to conquer Earth, but this Energy X comes out, and then people start manifesting powers like mutants. And they decide, like in the first issue, that they need to form a team. And that team like consists of just Minuteman. He's like the Captain America type guy. Liberty Lad, who's like Bucky. The Ant, who's kind of like Ant-Man. He's the smart one, too. El Diablo, who's like a flame-throwing, hot-headed Latino guy. Man-Bot, who's like a guy trapped in his suit. He can't come out of it. But they tell his origin. He was like a playboy that had a brother as a scientist, and that Energy X consumed him, and then he was radioactive. So he's like Radioactive Man in the Marvel Universe. Alchemist, she's like a mystic. Mentor, who's like somebody who could do stuff with his mind. But it's an interesting group of characters, and they have an interesting group of villains too. But it was a lot of fun. I'd recommend it, even if you don't play the video game.
Yeah, I imagine it's fine by itself.
Yeah, it is, especially if you like Kirby stuff.
I think because the game is really, like, I mean, it's not based on a comic, but like the whole idea is stolen right from comics. So.
So all the names that I mentioned, were they familiar to you?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah. And then they had like a Manowar, and Sea Urchin was like Aquaman.
There's Sea Urchin and Manowar. There's like a Law and Order.
Sea Urchin was a sidekick. Yeah, Law and Order.
Is Blackbird and Iron Ox in there and that kind of stuff?
Blackbird didn't show up. Okay. Neither did Iron Ox. Bullet did. He's the guy that can run fast.
Yeah.
Eve showed up, who's like Poison Ivy, but she talks to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Super Collider didn't show up, at least that I know of. Blackbird. There was somebody called Gravestone. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah, he was like a Batman Spectre type character. Hmm. How about some of these villains? Did you ever hear of Pinstripe?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like a mob. He's like the Kingpin, except he seems to have like a lot of powers, like Hammerhead or something. And there was Deja Vu, who they barely talked about. There was a guy, Pan, who would like... man, he's like the Purple Man or any of those characters that can manipulate, except he could only work his magic on women, like to make women do what they want to do. There's that one guy that I can't think of his name, that looks like a hyena in the Marvel Universe, but he can actually manipulate women too, but I can't think of his name. He's butt ugly, but I guess when he's in the... He looks like a hyena, really, but I guess when women see him, they see something else because he's manipulating them. There's Mr. Mechanical. He was like a bad guy that was putting robots together. And then the Lord Dominion, who was the main bad guy, at least initially. And then the Praetor and Lord Dominion, and then Time Master, who's the very big bad at the end. Was Time Master in the video game?
Yeah.
He looks something like a Dark Side or something in the comic book.
Yeah.
Or Thanos, or yeah, he doesn't have the exact colors, but he kind of looks like that type of villain.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if Bill finished it. I wanted to talk to him about it because it's pretty freaking awesome.
I gotta see if I can pick up the comic.
It didn't last long.
No, it's only like six issues. Yeah.
But Electronic Arts was the company that put it out.
Yeah, they put out the first one, and then Vivendi put out the second one.
Electronic Arts, though, like, was really big in my day, like, huge. Mm-hmm. They would put out, like, the basketball games, like Larry Bird versus Dr. J, and
yep.
Almost every game I would get for the PC or the Commodore was an EA game.
I mean, EA is still big, but now the company Activision is now the biggest company, but EA still exists.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard from them in a long time.
No, they had some issues with some of, like, they're still Madden every year, and Madden makes money, but, like, most of their franchises are second place to other companies. Like, their big shooting game.
Oh, I see what you're saying. EA is, like, EA Sports.
Yeah, EA Sports, still around.
They're the same company.
Yeah, they still have all the divisions.
I didn't know they were the same entity as, Yeah, they just acronymed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the same guys, but, like, all their stuff is, like, second tier. Like, even their sports games, like, their basketball game, they put it on hold for a while because, like, when they released one, like, 3 or 4 years ago, that was broken. Like, literally, you put the game in, and characters would glitch into, like, the middle of the court and not move. They would fall through the floor. Like, it was a disaster. So, they put the basketball game on hold, and in that time period, I don't know who owns it, but 2K Sports, because it's not Sega anymore.
That used to be Sega.
It used to be Sega.
That's my favorite sports games.
Yeah, no, but the guys who make that stuff now,
they were competing with the Madden at the time too.
They were competing with Madden, but before the NFL decided they only wanted one football game. So.
Oh, exclusive, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Oh, I remember having my Larry Bird, Dr. J. but yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
How did Acclaim go out of business? Because I thought they were making a lot of games that were popular.
I mean, they were making some games that were popular. It's sort of what happened to a lot of video game companies. It happened to them earlier than what happened to. I mean, the past 8 years have been really bad to a lot of companies, but they got hit.
Video game companies? Are you talking specifically?
Yeah, video game companies have been really bad to a lot of video game companies.
What is? I'm out of the loop when it comes to video game companies. Yeah. What? Why are they hurting? It seems like some of these games sell like billions of copies. Like,
well, the companies like Activision and Electronic Arts and those companies, they can survive because they have the game. They sell, like, Activision sells Call of Duty, and Call of Duty sells 4 billion copies every time it comes out, right? So they're fine. The thing is, video games used to cost a lot less money to make, right? And so you had all these companies that would come in, and they'd make these video games for... I mean, it used to be... You can crank a game out for $500,000, like, a big-budget game back, say, in the PS2... GameCube, sort of, or first Xbox era when, like, games were first, I don't know, it was weird. But, like, big budget games started to blow up in price then, but you can still get a really good one done for $500,000, and it wasn't that big a deal. And these games are, like, now some of these companies, like, to make a game, they have, like, 4 different studios with, like, 300 employees at each different studio putting together a game. And so...
They have animators,
just guys to make, like, there are companies that just do assets, because with all the 3D stuff, you can't just draw in a rock, right? You have to have someone create that rock. And so you have someone create a rock, and the person has to do all the texture work for that rock. And instead of having the guys that you have designing the level layout and all that stuff spend their time doing that, you outsource it. But that costs, and maybe it's cheaper to outsource it than do it yourself. But it's still, but that's a different, it's a different sort of cost. And so because you can outsource it for a little bit cheaper, you actually end up spending more money because you think you can do more stuff now that you're not doing that sort of thing in-house. And the budgets on a lot of these games blew up, and only certain games were selling. And so if you didn't, if your game cost $5 million for you to make it, and you don't,
and you didn't make $250 million,
then you have one more chance to make a game before your studio shuts down, right?
Yeah.
And so,
but like Halo's popular, right?
Halo's a big, so when the Halo game comes out,
and then Grand Theft Auto, right?
Grand Theft Auto makes, they make a lot of money.
Who owns Grand Theft Auto?
That is, well, Rockstar, the company, owns the licensing for it. And in America, it's published by Take-Two. Is it Take-Two? No, I think they're gone now. I can't remember who publishes it here. But Rockstar owns all of it themselves. So most of the money for Grand Theft Auto comes back to Rockstar.
What about those Tom Clancy things? Is that EA?
That's Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. They're French. They're a relatively new player. Like, EA's been around forever. Activision has actually been around forever. They've been around since Atari as well.
Yeah, I used to play all the Activision games.
Yeah. But Ubisoft is, I mean, they've been around for a long time now, but they're relatively new in the grand scheme of things. And they're probably the second or third biggest company after Activision.
What's Activision's big game?
Call of Duty.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that comes out every year and just makes more money than it did last year and continues to make more money than it did last year every year forever.
And I think once you get that engine in place, then you just need to get the stories and
you just the stories and scenarios and stuff, and you just crush it out.
Just crush it, yeah. How do I make this plot better than the last one? And
or not. How do I just add more stuff? Like, the plot for the most recent GTA, the plot for the most recent Call of Duty game is, from all accounts, a total disaster. But it doesn't matter because it's fun. And the thing with the shooter stuff, that people don't even play the story. Like, there's a lot of people who never touch the single player part with the story. They only play like these online games against each other. And so for those kind of games, the story is, there are some people who only play and they only play the story and they never play online ever. And that's probably like 5 million sales. And there's probably like another 10 million sales of people who just play online. Like, they don't even touch the single player.
Wow.
Every year. And it just keeps going. Like, it just these games sell so many. So many copies. But the middle tier that used to exist, there used to be a lot of games you could come out and you could spend a little bit less money. And so instead of spending like the full however much money it costs to develop a game, you pull it down a little bit. And you could sell a game and you could sell less copies. You don't have to be like the best selling game of the year to make your money back. You could be like the 40th best selling game of the year to make your money back with no real problem, like, and you could survive for a long time. And that's kind of what Acclaim did. Like, Acclaim, on the whole, they didn't have the best of anything, but their games would always sell well. But as costs kept increasing to make their games, their sales stayed sort of the same. Like, their sales didn't increase with the cost of making their games. That, and along with betting on licenses that didn't work out for them, and some poor management decisions, Acclaim couldn't survive. Like, they were just, they weren't going to be able to survive. I'm sure on the Wikipedia article, if I can just hit the Google button, it'll tell. Maybe
it just seemed like at the time advanced. That the Super, maybe it was the Super NES or...
Yep.
Super Nintendo, was out, a lot of the games that were coming out were Acclaim, you know.
Oh, they were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
And then it just, like, all of a sudden they bought the comic company and then came out with a few games and then they were bankrupt.
And Turok was massive. Like, Turok was a really big deal.
It was popular, right?
Yep. And then...
But that wasn't even, like, a Valiant-owned character. That was still owned by, you know...
Gold Key? Or is that...
Yeah, Gold Key, whatever owns them now.
Yeah.
Because now Dynamite's leasing those characters. They just came from Dark Horse, and now Dynamite's doing them. But, Shadow Man, they came out with the Shadow Man game. I heard that game wasn't that good, though.
It's not bad. There's a lot of things, like, it's... You can't go back and play it. Like, you just can't do it. It's not... I mean, I guess if you haven't played games in 10 years, you can. But to go back and play the first Shadow Man game is probably going to be really rough because the graphics are really bad and the controls are sucky. But at the time, it was good for what it was trying to. It was trying to do things that other games didn't, because it was trying to base off the storyline, right? And so the Shadow Man story was probably a little more mature than most of what you got in video games. In the mid to late 90s or so. And so, it was good on that level, but I can't imagine trying to play it now. I just can't even imagine. But yeah, no, they were a good company, then things got hard, and then went poof. They probably bought too much stuff.
Yeah, it's just weird how these companies form and fall apart. Like, me and Chris were just doing a retrocast, and we were talking about CrossGen and Future Comics and, you know, a couple other companies that just had some great ideas and good stuff and just fell apart for whatever reason. Like, the Future Comics was interesting because they said, you know, Bob Layton and Michelini and Giordano just kind of said, we're tired of fucking Diamond. They distribute what they want, when they want it, and they control it. And they said, fuck it, we're going to go directly to the retailers. And according to what I've read, it was kind of working until Bob Layton decided to start soliciting in Diamond, and then all hell broke out, you know, all hell broke loose. Plus, they were like web-centric, so people could place their orders on the web, and this was early on. And I guess their system got hacked, and they lost a lot of issues. Plus, lost some of their data, all kinds of stuff. So I guess when you go into business, you got to make sure you're prepared for things like that.
If you're going into online, you have to understand what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll little things like that, viruses, and they could take you out.
Back
especially
up.
When you're
back
just barely showing a profit, you know?
Yeah. Like, I find it hard. Like, the difference between, I guess, it was a similarity, but there's a difference between sort of video games and comics in that the big difference is that there's no single distributor. At least for American comics, right? And so, if you make a game, to get it into stores, there's never that consolidation of, like, one company sells, like, solicits all the games to every game store in America, right? Like, which, if you think about it, is really fucking weird. Like, Diamond...
Well, it actually makes sense, though, that you'd go whoever... Like, if I'm going to buy Acclaim games, I'd go buy them from Acclaim, right?
Yeah.
You just got to make sure as Acclaim that you get your stuff known to the store ahead of time, so...
Yeah.
People can pre-order it and...
Yeah, but and it's a smaller scale too, comics as opposed to, it didn't used to be, but then there was Diamond. So yeah, but with video games, you have a couple of different dynamics, and it worked similarly in comics, I guess, with because in games you have developers, and the developers are who makes it, and in some cases the developer is the publisher, so they develop the game, and they're responsible for getting it out to people as well, like, hand in hand. And on a small level, that might work out. And then in a sort of mid-tier, that could work out as well. But on a larger level, that's hard. That's really hard to do unless, like, certain companies can do... Like, 2K They actually now own themselves, if I'm not mistaken. And so they develop and publish their games, but they're actually, like, in the same way that, like EA has it to their degree, they have internal developers and then a separate publishing arm. So it isn't like this one studio is like the same guys who are developing it are also calling up all retailers and calling up their truck drivers to make sure the game gets out and the marketing team and all that kind of stuff. They're just making the game. But like these developers, some of them are fully owned, not fully owned. Some of them are fully owned by like publishing studios. So, and as I said, similar to being an exclusive writer or exclusive artist. But a lot of these guys, they just have deals where they make a game and it gets published by a particular publisher if they like it or not. But there are also the chance that they could put it out through other means and still be able to make money off of it. And that's the thing where I think comics gets weird. We're like, we're getting there with the digital stuff now, but I bet it's hard to get your books. It's a lot harder to get your books into retailers,
Yeah,
without
especially if
help.
you're not.
If you're not known, if you're not a known quantity, like it's
Yeah,
hard
or you'll have
to
to
get.
do like special things like Valiant does, where you say, I'll give you your money back type guarantee, or else they're not going to take a chance on things like Unity, or they'll order just for their pool customers and then a few copies for the shelf. But yeah, it's a
But like
crazy
it's
business.
hard that I think it's the same thing with a lot of things. With that middle tier is hard, and that middle tier dies out. It's
Well, that's
difficult
what
to see how you
these
sustain.
companies are. CrossGen, the Valiants, they're that middle tier. Whether they survive or not, Now Comics, I was reading the Green Hornets, those the middle tier.
So the thing is, there used to be, I mean, there's always like in video games, there's always been your bigger dudes,
Yeah.
but the middle tier was used to be a lot closer to the top tier, and there wasn't a huge difference between like the biggest game from the biggest publisher and sort of the next level down. But now that jump is getting bigger and bigger, and a lot of those middle tier guys are just don't exist anymore. And so now you have, and it's not completely true yet, but there's a fear that's going to get there, but I don't think it actually will entirely. But now you have these small indie games where you have these two guys in a basement making a game, or these really small 4 or 5 people teams, and that's a big deal. And then you go from that all the way up to $10 million blockbusters, $1 billion blockbusters. Ubisoft is spending God knows how much money on their Assassin's Creed games. They make a lot of money, but those games are made over four. They're on 4 different continents. Yeah, getting these games developed, and that's freaking absurd. So, it's really impressive on that level how big it is. But there's no one in the middle anymore. Like just
Yeah.
releasing stuff.
Like I never thought Sega would go under, but they kind of did. I mean, they're still around, right? Sega's still around.
Sega's
They're
still around.
just not making any like platform games, right?
Sega doesn't own, like, they don't make hardware anymore, so there's no more Sega consoles. And they are owned by a pachinko company. So, like, the companies who make those, like, the Japanese gambling thing, where they shoot the ball up, and it's like
Yeah.
pinball, but not really. It's a company that makes that stuff, is what owns Sega now. So, Sega makes a few games a year.
They used to be big though.
They
Like
were massive.
mean they had a console that was probably never it owned some market share, but it probably nowhere near like the Nintendo,
No,
but
the original the Master System and the SG-1000, they didn't come close to the NES, at least not in markets that counted. In South
that was my system. In other words, I ordered I had a Sega Genesis. I have loved it. And then I ordered the Dream, is the Dreamscape? What is
The
it? Dream,
Dreamcast?
Dreamcast. Love the Dreamcast.
But that
There
was
were two
Sega's a company
systems
that
I
is a
absolutely
that
loved.
they are the epitome of the left hand not knowing what the right hand was doing. Like, it is known that that company was a shit show internally, and their Japanese division and their American divisions were a mess. And they didn't work together well at all, and
but they just product released was shit. Pretty- quality product though.
Yeah,
like,
no, they were
like all their hardware, like if you bought the steering wheels or the guns, or I mean they worked really good with the system.
Everything worked.
And I remember buying the, I can't remember if it was the Genesis. It was for Altered Beast, I think.
Yeah, that's the Genesis.
But I played that. But then the Dreamcast, I was like Virtual Fighter. Like I fucking love that game. I put a lot of money into that arcade game, like me and my friend, and this is like when I'm old. I mean, I wasn't old, but I was out of college, and we were working here in Colorado. As me and my friend would, we used to work across from the, I mean, we used to live across from the mall, mm-hmm. and there was a little arcade inside that mall, and it had Virtual Fighter, and we used to dump all kinds of money into that fighting game to fight each other, and we used to learn all kinds of different moves. And then when it came out in the Dreamcast, like that was the game, and then we started saving money because the port over to the video game system was almost identical.
Yeah.
Like it was like the graphics looked the same, the movements were the same, the controllers were obviously a little different because you didn't have a full standing video game, but it was like almost like playing the exact game.
Yep.
And then that Crazy Taxi, I had that shit. That was fucking awesome. Like I had the steering wheel on it.
Yep.
It was a great game. And then I just turned into totally sports. And then I'd play sports. Like, it was all EA, you know, 2K. Yeah.
If you had a Dreamcast, you only had the 2K game.
Every year I'd buy the new one because I wanted the new lineups and I wanted the new features and whatever. And then they kind of went away from it, like you said, because of the licensing. But I thought it was a better engine. Like, if I played... When 2K was around and I played Madden, I preferred the 2K.
Yep.
I thought the movement was more smooth. You know, everything was a little bit better. And then they went, and then 2K went away, and then I kind of converted over because I had no choice.
Right.
And then started to become a Madden fanatic. And then the last system I had, I never got onto the online gaming. So once my friend left and we stopped playing, you know, the sports games, because it was always the sports. We play baseball during baseball season. We play basketball during basketball season, football during football season. Once he left, then I kind of just let my system go, and I never bought a new system.
Yep.
So I got as far as the Xbox first generation, and then stopped. But I still love the sports games. Like, I can still get hooked on them, because those are the engines that I like, and the competitiveness nature of them that I like. Where I don't like, most people love the first person shooter, or, you know, those type of games, and I fucking hate those games. I don't mind the driving ones, but I don't like the. I don't know if I just get like a dizziness to it, or I don't like having the control. I don't like the way it works. Maybe I got old and the complexity of the controls got...
Well, like, people who play them, they seem to like them. But there is, like, it is noted that using both sticks to control how you move is not actually intuitive in any sort of way. And so, yeah, like, the shoot with, like, one hand on the left stick and one hand on the right stick, and that's how you do most of all your actions, is not... very fun for a lot of people, and so
yeah,
I can see where, like, that's a, I'm not big into shooters. It's not my thing. I mostly play like adventure stuff and role playing games, and
now that's another games. Thing I don't like is the role playing games, or the games that all the games that people like love are not the games that I would like. Except for the sports. Like, Madden's still pretty popular, right?
Yeah, all the sports games are big.
And I love the basketball. Like, I'd get hooked on that, too. Because there's still a lot of complexity in there. Like, things you can do, like, to call and stuff. And
well, it's gotten a lot. Man, I played NBA 2K14 with my brother, and there's so much going on. and it's really confusing, and I'm really old.
I think I can catch on, though.
Oh, you can catch on.
But it's I like those types of games.
Like, at a certain point in time, like, if you're just playing whatever, it's not so big a deal. But you have to actually understand how basketball works to make the game work for you. Like, in a lot of the older games, you could just, like, do three passes and shoot and, like, get an easy drive for the basket. And, like...
Oh, this is, like, set up a pick and roll. And
yeah, you have to set up pick and rolls. You have to know how to, like, you know how to get through it, like, work through a screen. You have to know, like, all these different plays. You have to know how to defend a pick and roll, like, and how to make that shit work. And that's hard. Like, I didn't plan on that. And so I'm playing with them. I had to, like, readjust how I did everything. And you have to actually know what your players are good at. You can't just do the same thing with all the players. Well,
when you're learning, the best thing is to start... Take baby steps. So you kind of learn like two or three plays and be effective at those plays. And then you broaden your horizons into more complicated things. But if you understand like what certain plays do and what their intent is and how to look when that play is effective based on what you see on the defense, that helps.
In real life, I just couldn't figure out how to get video game version of Mario Chalmers sit his ass down. So
I used to love to like do the full court, half court press and just call, because man, I fucking loved that. Like when I was in high school and we'd press when you get like into a team's psyche and it was like turnover after turnover, you'd have 10 points in like a matter of like 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. If you could get them to choke. And I like doing that in the video game too.
I put my brother the most, and you can't press him because he uses the Warriors, and since everybody on the team can shoot, like if you press and they get the pass off, it's automatically 3 points, and they just don't miss, which is really kind of annoying. So
you gotta watch him and see if he has a control a disc in there like my nephew, a little cartridge in there that programmed the guys to not be able to be tackled and shit like that.
No referee calls. None of that. We were playing. Once I learned how the game worked, it was fine. But that first game, I think I lost by like 40 points. It was playing like 5 minute quarters. How did you get so many points? And so I figured it out. But
yeah.
Also, I was using the Bobcats, which was probably my mistake.
Well, you want to play with the teams you like, or you want players that you like, but they're not necessarily the best team that's programmed. I used to pick the Buffalo Bills, like football. Okay. And man, when they were the Jim Kelly years, they were fucking hot. Like video game came out, they were hot. And then the years after that, they were like terrible, but I'd still keep playing with them. The same with Green Bay. Like they had some good years, and they had some bad years, and they usually make the players or the offense and the defense reflect the statistics of that year's team.
They do it in real time now.
Yeah, I know. They update the statistics live. Now you're all on the internet.
Yep.
Everything that I had or did was pre being plugged into wireless.
Yeah, it's made the sports thing a lot different now because now, like in the NBA thing, the team's ratings will adjust. So if at the beginning of the year you thought like Brooklyn or the Knicks were going to be actually good, so 2K14, their ratings for both of those teams are really high on like on the disc when you plug it in. But when you update it, like those teams both suck now. So like Kevin Garnett got way slower and, you know.
Yeah.
Everything
felt then you possible. Got injuries, like people coming off of injury.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if a guy gets hurt in the real life, in the game, you can still, if you want to, you can still use them. Like, it won't, like, make you not be able to use them. But there's this mode where you can play, like, a full actual regular season and stuff like that.
I used to love the regular season. The NBA has so many damn games.
Yeah.
but it was awesome. I'd play a whole season. I would.
Yep. I do that. But... So if a player gets hurt, they're hurt in your stupid season. And so you have to figure out a way around it. And when they come back, they're not 100%. And you're like, why can't they just be perfect again? So, yeah. Playing it that the future is hard, is all I'm saying. Back in the day, you just picked a good team and never worried about, turn injuries off and never worry about it.
Yeah, that's the one thing, though, is I'd never want to play with a team I hated. Like, you'd never see me play with the Broncos or the Cowboys, no matter how fucking good they were. I didn't want to play with – I couldn't get myself to play with a team I hated, no matter what the percentage was.
Yeah. I don't think I hate any teams, which is good for me.
You don't? Like, football or basketball?
Nah.
You hate some players, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, there's players I can't stand, but – and it's usually not even their fault.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like Andrew Luck, I can't stand the kid. And it's not his fault. He hasn't done anything wrong. But I just can't stand the way people talk about him.
I like him, actually. This household, it was a weird household yesterday. Because me and Barb were celebrating. But at the back of our minds, we were like, they're still within, like, it's halftime. And we've seen the Chiefs choke so many times. That, at least I have. I was like, and then I saw... I was always worried for Barb because I was like, the Colts could score fast. I mean, they're doing like the Jim Kelly no huddle bullshit, and they're moving the ball down like within four or five plays, touchdown. And then the Chiefs would do it, but it would take them 20 minutes. Take them forever, and then they score. Or a turnover, and then they'd score.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know why you don't like Andrew Luck. I think he's pretty good.
It's not him. It's what you're talking about. Yeah.
How they say he's got all kinds of luck.
It's like his first year, he threw like 9 million interceptions, and everyone was like, no problem. Interceptions are fine when he does it. Like, what does that? That doesn't make any sense. You know, he has to work so hard to get his team to do anything good at all. And it's like, or he threw a lot of picks and he's a rookie, and that's fine. And it's like, talk about his comebacks, but it's like, yeah, he had a couple of comebacks, but.
I do like though how he
fell apart.
Well, I do like how the coaching staff let him keep doing what he does. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I credit the coaching staff because they could fuck you up just as much as yourself, right? Your own mind when you turn over the ball.
Yep.
But by making rash decisions or not letting you do certain things, in this case yesterday, I think they just. They stuck with their game plan. They knew they were behind. They knew they were going to pass 80% of the time, and they just kept doing it.
They also did everybody good in Kansas City with getting hurt.
Yeah, that was terrible. They were losing people every play, lost both running backs.
Yeah.
They were third string running back.
That was not any good.
But,
oh, well.
If I was the coach, I would just be screaming up top. I mean, I would have been the color of the damn Chiefs shirt. I was like, you motherfuckers, you were up by four touchdowns. How the hell did you let this happen?
I would not have lost that game if I was the coach.
It's like, how do you...
I'm good at this.
Even in the video... We'll go back to video games, and you know how the play calls are up to you.
Yeah.
Me and my friend would play like till 4 a.m. on a work night because we couldn't take a loss, either one of us. We'd go, okay, let's go again. Until we're about to pass out. But it was like, I would never, ever go into that prevent defense.
No.
Unless it was like only a couple of minutes left and I hate that because you have everything open under in the middle in a short distance, which if you F up could turn into a big, big ass play.
And your defense is hurt. You just go.
Yeah, when your defense is hurt. Yeah, and they lost like their key a couple of defenders there towards the end that were key, but man, that just
all the time.
Just gonna lose a lot of listeners that hate the sports.
Let's come back in a second. We're gonna talk about movies and TV and stuff. TV right now.
See what happens when Bill's not here.
Absolutely, this is what happens when Bill's not here. It's all Bill's fault.
Yeah, I blame Bill. He has to go back to work tomorrow. He's probably out doing something.
Probably tired, watching the kids. Playing Minecraft. He's playing Minecraft is what he's doing.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
He did send an email, I noticed, like, right before we started, saying, are we recording? But this is kind of like what I just I just assumed because we haven't been saying anything to always meet at 11:30.
It's 11:30.
Unless Bill, 11:30 Mountain Time, 1:30 your time, because that's what we usually do. And that's why I was like, Barb, can you test Micah real quick?
Well, see, what happened today was that because school starts on Wednesday, and yeah. I have classes in different buildings than I normally have. And so I went to campus to try to find where my classes were. And then it was raining and it was wet and I was tired, and it took me longer to get home than I planned on it. So that's why I was late.
Yeah. But I didn't know we were recording, but I just assumed we were. And I wasn't even planning on being here because the plan for us was for... I mean, we got like 5 inches of snow, 8 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. Me and Barb were going to my brother's house today to go watch the Packer game because we're both Packer fans.
Right.
And but the weather got shitty, and the roads are pretty damn icy, and it's like minus 13 wind chill, and we decided not to go because of weather. But I just assumed you guys were gonna go. And sometimes I'll put out a Twitter or whatever, but because I wasn't even planning on being here, right. I didn't put it, you know.
My problem is that even though it should be easy to know that it's every 2 weeks, right?
Well, for you it's harder because, well, this is why I think it's harder for you. You're in the middle of the fucking day.
Yeah.
Like you're in a weird time, whereas for me, well, 11:30 is around lunchtime, but it's also usually the time that I finish retro.
Right.
So that's, you know, I usually go from one to the other, and then take every other week off. But
I after that first week, I forget if we did it the last week or not. I just have a bad memory. So, wait. Did we record last week or the week before last?
Yeah.
So that I make plans and forget.
Yep, that's kind of what I do. And then, like, the next couple of weeks I have plans, so I'm not going to be able to do any podcasts. But
right.
But that's just because I have other commitments.
It happens.
I have a lot of shit going on in January, believe it or not.
I believe it.
It's weird because... there's a lot of things I have to go to or going to or having to travel, but I didn't realize how close they were. So I was like, holy crap, we're in January already. I really shouldn't have taken those 2 weeks off. It was pretty dumb, but I don't know. I guess I don't regret it because of my health situation. It helped me.
Right.
Helped me adapt. And plus the new drug that I'm on is so much better than the one that I was on. Like the one that I was on had so many side effects that it was just fucking me up. This one has side effects. I have to pee all the time and all that stuff, but
yeah.
It's nowhere near like the weakness and fatigue and all the other shit that went with it that I hated.
Yeah.
So sometimes the side effects are almost worse than the actual thing you're treating.
Yeah, that's why, like, people get sick with stuff, right? And they're like, take medicine. And I know a lot of people don't take them, like, unless, depending on what it is. A lot of people don't take certain medicine because they feel way worse after taking it.
Yeah, I'd at least want to try it, though.
No, they try it. And then after a week of, you know... not being able to open a jar of peanut butter because their arms don't work anymore. They're like, you know what?
Yeah, I can't open up a jar. That's ridiculous.
I'll just be sick.
Why am I shitting my pants every hour?
What is this anal seepage?
What's going on? Yeah, what's this seepage?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
And then you call the doctor. Oh, that's normal. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no thanks. God. And like, if you don't have enough vacation time, like, I'm not going to work with those issues. And so.
Yeah.
But if you have to go to work, then what do? You're kind of screwed.
Yeah, my body would go numb, and it would drive me crazy. Like, my feet, my hands, my lips, my face, they would just start tingling, and they would tingle like to the point where it lasts like 15, 25, 30 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
Fucking drive me insane. And like this new drug, not only is do I think it's helping me better, like I don't know what it's doing, but I'm getting more, I don't think I could hear more, but I'm getting more voice recognition, which means I could actually hear your voice come over on my right ear, and I didn't used to be able to hear that. It used to sound like you were like miles away, you know, like there was water in my ear. There was like some echo or something. And now I can at least hear it. I still don't want to favor that ear because I could, it's like 20% of the other ear, but I could still make stuff out right. if I turn the volume all the way up. And I didn't used to be able to hear that. But yeah, this new one is not nearly, I even told Barb, I said, damn, this drug isn't nearly as bad as, so I needed the time off.
Yeah.
Cause that thing was just effing me up, my concentration, everything.
Right.
And then as soon as I got off of it onto this other one, it was so much better, even though it still has its own side effects, but nothing like that other one. I was like, why would anybody in their right mind want to take this thing?
Yeah.
But I guess not everybody has the side effects. It just,
that's the thing. No one, and this, you don't know until you take it which one of these 9,000 things are going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird shit. But I'm glad I took the time off just to get my mind back in place. But movies, did you check any movies out?
Only one, like, newish movie, which was Inside Llewyn Davis.
Inside what?
It's a
Why do you come up with these weird ass shit like Captain Swing and the Electrical Pirates of?
This is a popular movie, or sort of.
What?
Llewyn Davis, the guy. It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Davis, I never heard of it, and I'm a fan of the Coen Brothers.
Wow, I think you'll like this one probably more than me. This is a story about it's like a fake thing about a folk singer, in like that village in New York with all the other folk singers. It's about his hard life right before sort of the transition from like old folk music to when Bob Dylan came on the scene, and sort of like that passage from one type of like white American folk music to another type of white American folk music. So it's about this sad dude. The problem is I don't like any of the characters. And so.
Are they odd like in most Coen
Absolutely. Movies? Absolutely.
They're always eccentric, right? Yeah. I mean, they have some bizarre. That's what I like about the movies. I find the characters interesting. I might not like them, but they're just bizarre.
Oh, they're weird. So I don't like really any of the characters.
That's why you struggled with the movie.
Yeah. Like the main, like Llewyn Davis, the main dude. Is unlikable. This is one. You know what's problem? Like, outside of John Goodman, I don't know who any of these people are. Let me look up the IMDb page so I can let you know. Like some of the actors.
John Goodman's in almost every one of their movies.
Yeah. Let's find IMDb page so I can tell you who these people are. Where is the IMDb page? It's like four things down.
You know, John Goodman is aging kind of well because I just saw the preview for that. It's World War II, like where they have to protect the art.
Yeah.
And he's in that movie along with George Clooney, who's also a Coen Brothers favorite, right?
Yes, yes.
But he's in that movie with like Matt Damon. There's a couple of big actors in there. And man, he looks the same as he did when he was in Roseanne to me.
Yeah, no.
Like he doesn't look horribly bad. Like some people age horribly bad.
Oh, Justin Timberlake is in it.
Oh.
Carey Mulligan is like the main woman in the movie, and she's unbearable.
Her character, her acting?
No, her character. She's fine. No, she's acting it well. At least I think she is. She's doing what she's supposed to do. The character's unbearable. She's just a bit of a jerk, kind of a whiner. Don't like her. Don't like Llewyn Davis. A bit of a mope. I know he's sad because like his life is an upheaval or whatever, but too much of a mope. Don't like him very much. But the very end of the movie is really good, though. I like the end of it.
I'll have to look that. I never even heard of it. But I'm so out of the movie scene lately that it's not a bit funny. just don't know a lot. Unless I see a preview or something. I want to see that movie, Her, or is it She?
Her.
Yeah, just because I'm very curious, because I've been reading Alex and Ada, and it seems kind of like in that.
That's the one where he falls in love with Siri, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to. That's kind of like Daryl's life.
Yes.
I kind of want to see some more Daryl. But I'd be interested to see that, but I don't think it's playing anywhere. I think it's got like a limited release.
I think it is
a limited release. Like, drive to Denver and go see it.
No. It'll be on Netflix in a week and a half. It's fine.
Yeah. But I saw, God dang it, I can't even think of what that movie is. American Hustle.
American Hustle.
Okay. Yeah, and I liked it. I thought it was a little slow. I thought it was a little long for what it was, because it's a lot of talking, but it's pretty freaking awesome. It's people manipulating each other. The whole freaking movie is what it is. Mm-hmm. But he is really good in that movie. I don't know if he's... I've heard he's an asshole sometimes, like when he was chewing out that person. He was making Batman or whatever the hell it was, the lighting guy. But he is a good actor. I mean, he does take his work seriously. I guess you got to give people credit for doing that. And I'd recommend seeing it. I thought it was pretty good. And then I saw Fright Night 2. Okay, this isn't the Fright Night 2 from the original. This is the Fright Night 2 from the relaunch. It was fucking weird, man. It's the worst Fright... I'm a huge Fright Night fan, so I love Fright Night. I love Fright Night 2.
I didn't even know they made a sequel already.
Yeah, it was direct to DVD. Oh. They made the one with Colin Farrell, you know,
yeah.
The remake.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's very similar to the original, but they were modernizing things here and there. Well, this other one is almost like pretend none of those other movies happened, and we're not trying to be like it, but we'll use the same character names, and we're going to make it like... It just seemed like it was too close to the Colin Farrell movie to do it again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like a revamp on the revamp.
Yeah, this is this a weird time, move.
Well, if you watch Fright Night, and then Fright Night 2, the original. Mm-hmm. Fright Night is Dandridge. Fright Night 2 is Dandridge's sister.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you jump ahead to Colin Farrell, and it's Dandridge. So I thought this Fright Night 2 would be Dandridge's sister, but it's Dandridge, but it's a female now, and it's more in the vein of that lady that would bathe in blood.
Oh, yeah.
Young. Yeah, and she's the main vampire. And these two actors go over to Europe, and you know it's out of continuity of the first one because Evil's back.
Right.
And, you know, his crazy-ass shit with his laugh and stuff. Except the acting that they got for this movie is, like, really bad. It's not... At least they had the guy from McLovin. You know, he was Evil in the Colin Farrell one. So they had more quality actors, and this one it was more generic. But I didn't care for it much, and it's a lot for me to say that because I love the Fright Night franchise. But they had the names the same, like Evil, you know, Peter Vincent, Dandridge. Yeah. They just really they really twisted it and made it so different. Where it was a high school that decided to go tour in Romania for some kind of class project for many weeks.
Yeah.
And met up with this vampire, and then nobody believed him. Kind of the whole thing that Fright Night's based on. But yeah, I saw that. I think that's it. And then I watched Ghost Rider again.
Right.
That's it. But the inside, that movie sounds interesting.
Yeah, no, check it out. I think you'll like it. If you like, I mean, it's very much a Coen Brothers movie. So
I started to watch, I didn't get to finish because I went on an Arrow tangent.
I watched one episode of Arrow.
I really fell in love with Arrow. I really did. Over this break, I watched 13 episodes.
Oh.
And that's a lot of TV.
That's a lot of TV.
That's for me, who's like embedded in comic books. I watched like 13 episodes in like a couple days, and I became obsessed with it. Yeah, I know it's got its flaws and stuff, but it sure does throw in a lot of like Easter eggs, like for people that know what's going on.
All right, so help me out. I've only seen one episode. Have you seen? I don't even know which one it is, but I think Oliver gets poisoned or something like that.
Yeah, that's Count Vertigo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one if we're talking the same one.
Yeah, it's a recent episode.
And Count Vertigo is one of his villains.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting that they did what they did with him to modernize Vertigo is to make the drug Vertigo.
Yeah.
And his sister was arrested for using Vertigo. And he's trying to get his sister off because they want to use her as an example because they're rich.
Right.
But Barb doesn't like it because it's one of those CW shows, which means that there's nobody that's supposed to be ugly.
Everyone is so gorgeous all the time.
Like, there's no fat people in it.
There's no fat people. There's no one that's not even perfect. Yeah, it's weird.
Which yeah, it is kind of troublesome that you can't see that. But I guess I got caught up in the TV show itself that I just love it, man. I freaking obsessed with it. And it's on instant streaming, and I'm still in the first season, but like I want to watch more. Like if Barb doesn't really want to watch it, so when we're here together, we'll watch like we're still watching Breaking Bad,
right,
which is outstanding. But I'd rather just want to plow through this. I want to plow through them. And I know it's going to slow down even now that, you know, I'm going back to work.
Yeah.
I won't be able to watch 17 hours of TV.
Wait till you get to season 2.
Yeah, but the season 2, I want to watch it probably in the same mode I'm doing here. Like when season 3 starts, they'll release season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope they continue to stream it because, you know, streaming to me is always, God, it's on now. What if they decide to pull it? I don't know.
I think they will for Arrow.
But there's always the DVD option, you know, with Netflix. I'll just say I want the, send me the disc 1, you know. So I could always do that. But the other show that I became obsessed with was a Knutson thing. He told me to start watching Dracula.
Hmm.
And it's fucking weird, man. It is such a weird take on this character. I am a fan of Dracula and how they introduce like wireless light.
Hello? Did I disappear?
Is Dracula the bad guy or is he the good guy? There's so many shades of gray because there's this other organization that is like an evil monopoly that likes to run things, and they almost seem like they're the villain, but there's so many things corrupt about everything. But I got hooked into Dracula, and the Renfield that they got is my favorite character. Like, he is just, he's why I watch the show, because I just love Renfield.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes place, I think, in the 1800s or earlier, but it's got to be an expensive show to make, I would think. Not just for the times they do some rare special effects, but for the costume design and the architectures and stuff, it seems like that would cost a fortune, you know? You know, mm-hmm. to do a period piece, it just seems like expensive. Just to have, you know, everybody be in a certain time period of clothing.
Oh, yeah, the costuming and set work has to probably cost a pretty penny.
Yeah. But it's good, and I got hooked. I only watched 6 episodes, and we have one more on the DVR, but we plowed through those this past week. It's weird because most of the shows that I do watch now, I think 90% of them are horror based. You know, American
Story, yeah. Ace
Hotel, everything that I watch is in the horror Horror Domain.
Try Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes out on.
Sleepy Hollow, I bailed on.
Oh, you bailed on it?
I did, and I bailed with probably 3 episodes, 4 episodes in. I kind of did the what I did with Sleepy Hollow. I can watch, like, I enjoy it. I watch it, but I guess I didn't feel like drawn to it, like
Oh,
where
so
I
if you miss it, then you run off,
miss
then
it,
you.
miss it.
Yeah.
I'm okay. It
Yeah.
felt like Monster of the
It kind of is.
and I don't tend to like those shows. Like, I like the ones that are long drawn out. Like Arrow, it's a continuing story, and one episode leads you right into the next. And I like those more than, like, who am I fighting this week? And I can watch this episode, miss 5 more episodes, and then jump right back on. I
Yeah.
don't like those. Kind of like SVU or, Law
Yeah,
and
all the
Order.
Law and Order shows.
I don't like that shit. I like a Spartacus, something that's epic, that tells me a story. And as long as the story I keep liking, I'm going to keep watching it. But if you watch all the shows that I watch, they are not one and done.
Right.
I don't like that formula. And I absolutely love Micah, the short seasons.
Yeah.
I don't, the short seasons help me not lose my interest. They seem
22 is
more.
a lot. I've been saying it for a while. 22 is a lot of TV.
22 is a lot of fucking TV, and that's what Arrow is right now. I'm like on 13, but I still have fucking 10 more to go. But for one season, but I do like on demand, like, watching it on streaming, because then I can control when I watch it. But I like the short seasons. If every TV show went to short season, I watch probably watch a lot more TV and be more attentive to it. Because attentive means that I'm actually not playing with my phone, not reading something, not looking at the side of my eye, but I'm like engrossed in the TV show. But yeah, Dracula is pretty damn good. It took me a few episodes to get into it, but it was worth it. You watch any TV?
Nope. Not these past 2 weeks.
What have you done?
I'm trying to
You
figure
have
out.
kind of like, what did I do? I cleaned a lot of comics out of the living room is what I did. I did a lot of cleaning. I just didn't do as much as I wanted to. I had all these plans. It didn't work out as well as I'd liked.
We've been cleaning and getting ready for school, and I'm trying to think. I mean, we've done stuff. I'm trying to figure out what we did. Oh, watching a lot of
Credit.
basketball. So,
Oh, okay. Yeah. How many credit hours are you taking?
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, seven.
So is that 2 or 3 classes?
Two classes. One's a 4 credit hour. One's a 3 credit hour.
You think you're gonna like it, or? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And if everything goes to plan, you'll be in Japan next year in
Yes.
September. Yeah.
That's the goal.
Will be a very interesting experience.
Yeah, I can't wait.
One thing I loved about the I've always been very curious about what, 'cause if you move from state to state, you're still in America, you're still in the
Yeah.
similar culture, even though things change around you, you could always still find the familiar. But it's always kind of interests me is what if you're put into a situation where it's not familiar, you're
Yeah.
in a new culture, you're trying to adapt to something that you don't know. You might have studied it, but this is real life.
Yeah, you don't know it.
You don't know it until you're there. That's one thing I found interesting in that the movie that Bill is it Bill Murray and
Scarlett Johansson.
Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a weird thing because they found each other, but man, when they were out of their element,
Yeah.
they like it was like a new world to them. Like, what do I do? It was bizarre, but it should be an interesting experience.
Yep.
You'll either love it or you'll hate it. I don't think there's going to be a medium.
Probably not. Hoping I love it.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think you will. I think you will, just because I know the type of, I kind of know the type of person. I don't talk to you every day, but I kind of have got to know you over the years, and I think that if anybody's gonna enjoy it, your personality will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
You seem to embrace people's cultures, so.
I like stuff. I like doing stuff, so.
All right, is that it?
That's it, because lunch just showed up, so.
All right, takeout or did you make it?
Oh, takeout.
Oh, what are you guys eating?
Taco Bell.
Oh, I'd kill for that right now. I'm hungry, too. I don't know what we're going to eat, though.
I got a couple chicken burritos and a chicken quesadilla, so I'm going to go crush that out.
I'm lame when it comes to Taco Bell. I just get the bean burritos and the soft tacos.
Yeah.
Chicken soft and maybe the beef soft, depending on my mood.
Right.
But they're small. I tend to put a lot of sauce on them, so I don't know if I taste them or this the best. Well, I'll let you go eat, and you have a good week. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Hopefully, Bill will be with us.
Hopefully.
Yeah, he'll be back in his regular non-vacation mode.
Right.
All right, Micah, have a good one.
You too.
Take care.
All right. Bye.